Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is Love Sport.
Good evening. It is that time for the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 10 p.m. this evening. And I'm joined, as ever, by the guys from the No Lou Talking podcast, Pat, James and Ted. How are we?
Fine, thank you.
Fine, mate.
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Positively buzzing after last week, I'd imagine.
Of course, and it feels that much better being here with you now, a Millwall fan, Matt. Like, you know,
he's let the cow out of the bag,
yeah,
of course.
Fully converted. Into the den without telling us.
I was, in fact, before I just get onto the fact that I was at the den last week, a bit of Premier League news: Liverpool leading Norwich 4-0 at Anfield on the opening day of the Premier League season. A Grant Hanley own goal, Mo Salah doubled the lead, Virgil van Dijk made it 3, and Divock Origi, the cult hero, has made it 4. But it doesn't matter for Norwich. The season starts in their home clash against Newcastle next week. This one was just a given. Liverpool were always going to win, and to be fair, they do have nothing to lose in this one. But a team that did have a lot to lose last week was Preston North End, and Millwall came up trumps, guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
Happy?
Oh, always with a win, you know. Doesn't matter how you get them, as long as you get them. And it's good to start the season with a decent win, 3 points, and, you know, we go tomorrow.
It's good to have a clean sheet, Matt, to be quite honest. That was more important, not more important than the result. You know what I mean by that? Could have been a 0-0. But we gifted a lot of silly goals away at the early start of last season. We only tightened it up a little bit towards the end. So to come out this season and get yourself a clean sheet, that's a good sign for me. We're going to be dangerous on the break with size. With Matt Smith down there, it's going to be a handful for anyone. We've got plenty of other little options around here now. Connor Mahoney looks like a ready-made start to me for Millwall. He's something that we've been desperate for a winger that can actually cross the ball and get it into the right areas. And it just seems that we're that little bit more dynamic as an attacking force. But with also looking that bit more solid. So it was very pleasing indeed.
Yeah, now, as you alluded to, Ted, I was at the game last week.
And you were. Oh, dear.
Do you know what? It was a good game, but my highlight was the free husky.
Yeah. I mean, delightful. That's what we all came for.
Absolutely delightful. I supped that down as I was watching football on a nice sunny day.
What more could
in
you
South
want?
East London.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Matt Smith there. I have to say, Pat, Matt Smith is very much Matt Smith, isn't he? You know exactly what you're going to get with him.
I mean, kudos to him for stopping that goal with his head.
Absolutely.
Well, he puts his head in the way of most things, doesn't he?
I don't think he was the best player on the pitch.
No.
I mean, he played well. And I think with Matt Smith on the pitch, we play in a certain way, which I don't like. I like to keep the ball on the ground. I'd rather see Bradshaw up front than Smith. But no, I wasn't happy when he signed, but he did have a decent game.
I think, you know, James, that he's gonna put a shift in. But when I say he's very much Matt Smith, that shift is quite limited. He's not got pace. He can't really run. He's there to hold the ball up. And like Pat said, is that the best way you want to be playing? I know he's going to win headers, but I think with having Matt Smith in that starting lineup, you're limiting a certain way that you can play.
Yeah, well, I mean, since we've had Harris as manager, we've always sort of been a, you know, very direct sort of long ball, lump it up the top and then see what happens. And I think with Matt Smith and his you know, physical character, you know, he is known to win headers. He can cause defences a lot of problems. You know, from the get-go on Saturday, he did, you know, won his first header in about, 7-8 seconds. So, and, you know, he bullied the defence off the park. Again, as Pat said, he wasn't the best player on the pitch, but he can be a bit of a nuisance to defenders, and he showed that on Saturday.
The thing with him is his own worst enemy, because there's no point in having Matt Smith on the pitch if you ain't going to play to him. Mm-hmm. So you've got to watch his style. And we was talking outside, he is a little bit of a dinosaur in the sense that he's a old-fashioned type of centre-forward who's going to bash the centre-half around a bit or make life very uneasy for a centre-half. And you pick the pieces up around him. But what he is, Matt, he's potent and he's effective whenever he's playing. Whether he comes on as a sub, which is always what he's been in the last couple of seasons at QPR, we're having a bit of trouble here, boys. Let's get Matt Smith on, throw it in the box. And I said it when I was on here before, you see Matt Smith coming on, you think, oh my God, mm-hmm. you know, he's not the greatest footballer in the world, but he's going to give us problems. And we are a team that are made for Matt Smith, because like James said, Neil Harris likes that sort of style. And to be honest, I know we all say we don't mind a little bit of up and at them down at Millwall when there's a big side down there and we're going to get into the box and just make things happen. Matt Smith's a perfect guy there. I actually think he'll turn into a bit of a cult hero down at Millwall.
Do you really?
Yeah, because I think we will. Neil Harris has been saying in the fans' forums and things like that, he knows he's got more options now than he's ever had, and I don't think he's going to play the same way week in, week out like he has done. Again, we was chatting outside, is he going to play the same team tomorrow? I'm not so sure. West Brom's a different kettle of fish to Preston at home. But Matt Smith is always going to be an option there, whether he starts or whether he's on the bench. And if it's not going right for us or we need a goal, I can't think of anyone better to come off the bench to cause a bit of panic into the opposition's defence.
I think you're bang on there, Ted. And I think it's something that has been developed with the likes of Pep Guardiola coming over to England, kind of installing this belief that there's only one way you can play football. It's only about tiki-taka. Yeah. I know that we can hark back to the fact that, the English way is so prehistoric, it's so archaic that you'd have a big man up top. But there is nothing wrong with that. It's why I liked it when Andy Carroll played for England. I thought it was a real trump card, and why he probably should have gone to more tournaments, because you get some of these continental nations and you chuck Andy Carroll on for the final 10 minutes. They think, what on earth is going on here?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you're right. We've all been led to believe there's one way of playing. But the thing is, if there's only one way of playing, the sides that buy all the best players that play that style are going to win everything. You know what I mean? If we played Manchester City, there's no way we should be playing the same style as Man City, because they're players off the park. They've got the best players some of the best players in the world. So you have to have different ways of playing and attacking sides. We all know, we see it in the FA Cup and up, you get stuck into certain sides and disrupt them and play in a different style and get at them, which we all scream for, like we did when we played Everton last year. Yeah. And look what happened against Everton. They didn't like it at all. Mm. They looked like prima donnas running around there. So you have to have them options. You know, when we play the likes of West Brom in this division, we have to have a different option than trying to play football the way West Brom. Because West Brom just bought Charlie Austin for God knows how much. You know, these players are worth far more. Like one of their, our squad is worth one of their players in terms of money. So they're great players. But you know what I mean? We've got to have the different aspects to our game. And that's what Matt Smith gives us. I can never pronounce his name. What's his name, James?
Daddy Podvarsson.
I think he'll be an entirely different type of centre forward that you have there. Tom Bradshaw, entirely different again. There's a good mix.
Pat, a good start for Jed Wallace. Nice to see him get on the score sheet and almost scored before that with a little volley.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does best. He wasn't the best player on the pitch, and he has had some poor games towards the end of last season.
I keep coming to you with players that you weren't too impressed with, don't I? I'm sorry.
No, I love football. Well, sponsor his home shirt. I love Jed Wallace. But, nicely taken goal. I think it deflected off the floor. That's why the keeper only just got a hand to it and went in. But it was a lovely, lovely goal, lovely build-up, the way Thompson done the little shimmy straight out to the wing. Yeah. It was a beautiful goal.
Yeah,
build up.
Good start for Thompson as well. Speaking of goalkeepers and Manchester City, by the way, Ted, because this is quite pivotal here.
I don't know if we've got Manchester City on the Millwall show, but carry on.
Two of the same, surely.
I'm over here.
And that is the fact that Luke Steele, the new loan signing, reportedly rejected Manchester City because he wanted game time. We saw, unfortunately, Frankie Fielding last no longer than, 30 minutes or so?
30, 40 minutes,
went down with that calf strain. Bielkowski came on, two goalkeepers making their debut on the opening game of the season. What do you make of performances from either?
Well, they've done their job. You know, didn't, you know, two clean sheets in one game. You know, how often can you say that? But I think obviously fielding was a massive loss. Bilkowski didn't have a lot to do, you know, just pump it forward a few times from goal kicks. However, as a goalkeeper myself, playing hockey, I know it's a different sport, but I did really feel for Fielding, you know, when he went down injured, because it can happen to anyone. And the way he went down looked pretty bad. So just wish him a speedy recovery. But I'm impressed with the keepers so far. I know it's only been one game, but considering, you know, the errors that have come from the goalkeepers for the last two or three seasons now, it's been, you know, hopefully we've turned the corner and we can rely on them a lot more than, you know, instead of biting our fingernails off at every corner or every set piece that comes into our...
They weren't really tested on Saturday, though, was
no.
they?
I
think one shot on target?
I think Neil learned a little lesson in some respects at the end of last season when Dave Martin came in. Because Dave Martin is a good, steady, experienced goalkeeper. And, you know, I like to see youngsters coming through. But there's one position where I believe you need to have consistency, and that is a goalkeeper. And more often than not, they get more consistent the older they get. So I like the ones that he's bought. I've always thought Bartowski has been a very good goalkeeper for Ipswich, very good. Frank Fielding's been a good championship goalkeeper. Luke Steele's been a good goalkeeper, but they've all got experience. They've all got championship experience, which will allow... Sanford, the young kid that we've got coming through, a bit of time to perhaps even go out on loan and get some good game time in. But I like what we're doing. I think we need a good experienced goalkeeper, and I think we've got three now.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gutted for Frankie Fielding. Spoke to him a few months ago, did a really good interview, and he was sort of buzzing about getting first team football again, had the opportunity at Millwall. It was interesting to watch his warm-up. I was watching both him and Bilkowski quite closely, and they were doing those diags over and over again in the warm-up, and it's amazing that the second one he did in the game instantly pulled that groin. But Luke's still coming in terms of the incomings, 9 deals done, guys. Which is the best one in your opinion? Who are you most happy with?
Mahoney. Yeah. I think Mahoney is... I don't think we're holding for long. I think a year or two we'll be selling him on for about 15, 20 million.
Oh, crikey. Oh, yeah, you reckon?
No, I think it's a 24-year-old. Don't you?
Well, no, I mean, this is what we're here for. So it was about, 950,000 in? So, yeah. I mean, that would be fantastic profit.
Well, it would be, yeah. I can see him really progressing, and I can see him getting player of the season as well, which would be a shame because I think Tomo deserves it. But
he had one game.
I know. I like him. He's shown a bit of class down that wing, doesn't he? The crosses, the corners, they've all been pretty special. You can see his class. And I think Harris did really well in signing him.
Yeah, definitely a bit of quality about him. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But it's a long old season. And I said the other week when we signed that Malumbi from Brighton. Give that kid a bit of time. I think he could well be a guy that comes and surprises us out of thing. I think Mahoney, he's had a season in the Championship with Birmingham. We can all see his quality. And I think hopefully he'll progress with us and get even better. Malumbi might be the surprise. He might come all of a sudden and be a player for us, I think.
Yeah, I did think he looked a bit unmatch fit. Towards the end, he was struggling. That cross near the goal where he should have perhaps taken a shot.
I
think he'd be struggling towards the end, definitely.
Absolutely. Just quickly before we go to the ad, Steve Morrison, guys, he's made that move to Shrewsbury permanent. How do we feel? I mean, that's a club legend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, club legend. He'll always be remembered, you know, as a cult hero at the Den, as, you know, one in the top 5 goal scorers of all time at Millwall. But I did think it was time for him to move on, considering, you know, his match fitness. He's not getting any younger, let's be perfectly honest here. And it was kind of, you know, making sense that as he was getting less time, it would probably, you know, maybe boil over a bit. Obviously know, but I think, yeah, it made sense.
In a footballing terms, made sense completely, because I think he will do Shrewsbury a turn, as we say. But I don't think we've seen the last of Steve Morrison. I'm fairly sure he'll be back at some point or the other. They all come back.
Paul Robinson, Harris, Morrison's next on the list.
Absolutely. Well, Paul Robinson, you mentioned there, James.
Yes.
We are going to be discussing him and another Millwall legend after this.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, this is Love Sport and the Millwall Fan Show. Me, Matt Beardall, here with you through to 10 p.m. with Pat, James and Ted, guys, we were talking a little bit about the incomings. James, your favourites among those. I mean, have you got any reservations? Are you happy with the deals that have been done?
Oh, yeah, very happy with the deals that have been done. I mean, if you look back to after the Bristol City game at the end of April and the last season, Harris mentioned that he needed to get rid of a lot of players, bring some, you know, new faces in. It took time, but we got there eventually, and I was actually concerned that we wouldn't get a lot of players in. But looking at it now, obviously, as Pat said, Mahoney was, you know, a different class on Saturday, even against Real Sociedad. I don't know if anyone saw that, but, you know, he just played, he done his bit, made it look easy, and got a really good goal in the end as well. But one unsung hero, I feel, was getting the long-term signing of Alex Pearce. You know, I thought he had a very good game last week. He was very, very dependable at in the second half of last season, and hopefully he could become a very good player for us this season and very useful for us. So.
Wonderful. Okay, well, another very useful player from the past for Millwall, a Millwall fan and former Millwall striker, famed for that wonder goal he struck for Millwall at Wembley in the 2009 player final against Scunthorpe. We won't talk about the result, but he's also father to a promising Lions youngster, George Alexander, and has got another two sons playing in development sides for another London side that we won't mention just yet, because we just had a reference to the fan show that we weren't too happy about. The guys weren't happy about that in the break. Gary, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Evening. I'm good, thank you. Yourselves?
Yeah, very, very well.
All right, Gary, you must have a favourite son, the one that plays for Millwall, I should imagine, Gal. Is that right?
He's called... Nah, it's hard school, isn't it? That's hard.
Yeah, congratulations.
There's no favourite, you know, like they're all enjoying their football, that's the main thing.
He scored again today though, Gary, didn't he?
Yeah, he nicked a goal today, which was good. Obviously, it's nice because he's missed a little bit of pre-season through injury, and obviously to score a goal on his sort of comeback, he had 45 minutes against Welling, and I watched that one, but I managed to catch a bit on YouTube today, and he nicked a goal, so that's all he can do, he's a goal scorer.
He seems to be a little bit more prolific than you was, Gal. Is that...
Yeah, well, if he has a career of better than 1 in 3 goals, then we'll give him that. We'll give him a high five, you know. So, but no, he scores goals, and that's all he can do. He's a centre forward, and look, you get paid to put the ball in the back of net, don't you? So,
well, I know it's about keeping his feet on the ground, Gal. I'm sorry to keep talking about him, but I think he's at that sort of stage in his career, which is very important. And we was talking maybe a loan sometime later in the season might do him good.
Yeah, look, as a youngster, I went out on loan. I went and played for Dorchester in the Ryman Premier League, you know, at 17, 18. And then my next loan move was League Two. But I'm sure Neil's got plans for him in terms of what he wants in his development. And look, he's good hands. So I'll leave him with Neil, and whatever he decides it will be, you know. He's just got to keep working hard and keep pushing. And whatever level he gets to play at, he's got to go and score goals.
Hi Gary, we were wondering. You told us previously on the radio show that Neil Harris would keep Millwall up last year, but did you anticipate that it had come so far, so close to the wire, rather than it actually was?
Look, it was difficult in the Championship last year. That there's a lot of big clubs, but look, Neil does a great job on the budget that we have to run on, and you see some of the money getting spent this year as well. It's going to be tough again, but obviously he's recruited well, and hopefully this season it doesn't go as close as it did last season. But listen, we said they'd survive, and he had the squad to survive, and they've done that. It's fantastic. A quarter final of the FA Cup. It was a good season for Millwall last year, but again, obviously expectation, we make a few signings, people think all of a sudden we're going to become a Premiership side, but it doesn't happen like that, you know. It's a work in progress, but if we stay in the Championship again and we can finish a little higher than last year, it's improvement.
Oh, hi Gary, it's Pat here. What do you make of the strike force that Neil Harris has assembled this season?
Yeah, he's obviously assembled, like, Neil was a striker, and he's assembled players that obviously he thinks fit the style of play and how Mill will want to play. You know, he's got obviously Smith, Bavarvason, he's got who else? We've got Aidan O'Brien, we've got Tom Bradshaw, you know, so there's a good mixture there, and hopefully look, it's not just going to be any of them two, it's just going to be a mix, and whoever clicks it off, hopefully they can get them goals and get the points, you know. One of them might score 20 goals, but one of them might set up 15 of them, you know. So it's all about partnership, so he's got to find the right partnership.
So who would be the two you would start with?
I haven't seen a lot of them, so I wouldn't like to decide, you know. It's obviously early season yet, and I wouldn't like to say, because football's form, you know, like it's all about being those in form. So it's difficult to say who I'd start with, but I think probably a big man and a small man. So it's probably Bradshaw and Smith, or Bradshaw and O'Brien and Smith at the moment, as he is, you know. So it's up to them to stake their claim and obviously stay in the team.
Yeah, the key to Millwall's always been a good team spirit to me. We have to be a team to beat some of these, you know, the sides that have got better, more luxurious players, if we can put it that way. But the key to Millwall is having a team. And after last season and what Neil said about the way there was an internal thing that was wrong with the side, if you like to put it that way, it looks like we've got a spirit back. I know it's only one game, but it looks like there's a buzz about them. They're playing for one another. That's all important for the season, isn't it?
100%. I think Neil's grown up in teams like that. Neil obviously came through non-league, became a professional, obviously loved his dressing rooms at Millwall, and that was part and parcel. And, you know, like, he's obviously seen that last year, that the spirit wasn't right. And he's gone and changed that. We've seen that this year. People like, oh, why is he getting rid of him? Why is he doing that? Why so many gone? But he's gone and produced. He's brought in the same amount of players. And has he brought in better quality? Time will tell.
Gary, before you go, boss, we've just got to ask you. You obviously spent a fair bit of time at the club, scored those goals in that 2009 playoff final. What's your greatest memory of playing for the Lions?
Greatest memory of playing for the Lions? Probably I scored them goals, but you know, my favourite moment is probably scoring a late winner against Leeds. Like, I got injured that game, and that was probably the beginning of the end of my Millwall career. You know, I scored a late goal against Leeds. I think it was about 87th minute. We won at the Den. The atmosphere was unbelievable. And that's probably beginning the end, because my heel went that game and I never really come back from that. I obviously made the bench in a few games the next season, but it wasn't to be, you know. And so probably scoring the winner against Leeds at the Den was fantastic. And then obviously the goal everyone reminds me of, you know, like I can't, that's not going to change, you know. I've hit that ball and it's gone in. So that's another fantastic memory. But for me personally, I love playing for the club, but obviously injuries cut that short, and the Leeds goal obviously meant a lot to me.
You've always been my favourite because of that goal, that Leeds goal, I tell you.
Gary, thank you very much for joining us. That was Gary Alexander, Millwall fan, and of course a former Millwall striker who did score in a playoff final that ended in defeat. But a man that also scored in a playoff final that ended in victory is this week's Legend of the Week.
See what your club legend was wearing at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. The place for football shirts.
Yep, it's the Legend of the Week. 14 years of service, a sterling Millwall captain. Who is it, James?
Paul Robinson.
It is Paul Robinson. What are your memories, guys?
I mean, Robbo scoring in that playoff final was a fitting tribute to a guy who deserved something like that for his loyalty to a club. But I always remember the goal he scored against Huddersfield in a semi-final, when the night was rocking to the extent it was unbelievable, and he rose and headed it in from a corner. And when you're someone like Robbo, who don't score many goals, it's nice that they are memorable goals, if you know what I mean. And them two have always been memorable. Let's face it, the goal at the playoff final, it's hit him, bounced up, and he's about 2 yards out, and he's just whacked it, and it's gone in. But it might as well have been the same goal as Gary Alexander, because what it meant, that one actually won us a playoff final. And we'd been there the year before, and it was a desperate sort of time. And it actually brings me back to Charlie Austin, who I've loved as a striker, because he missed the sitter in that game going through, and he put it over the bar. So I've always quite liked Charlie Austin, so hopefully he does the same tomorrow if he plays. But no, Robbo's just a legend. He's what you would aspire to be in a Millwall player. He's loyal, he's committed, he gives you everything he's got, and he'll always be with you.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I was watching an old video of the Soccer AM Crossbar Challenge. Remember when they used to do that on the show? And it was a Millwall one, because I was looking for a certain player, Scotty Barron.
You're hooked on us now.
So I know, I'll tell you what, obsessed with Millwall now. But Scotty Barron was there and Tony Craig was there. But Paul Robinson came up, he was captain at the time, and he just, you know, they used to do a bit to camera. He was like, captain of this bunch of Muppets. great team spirit at the time. And before we go, actually, on this, it's worth mentioning David Ford has hung up his gloves this week.
Yeah.
An ex-Millwall goalkeeper who we might talk about in this capacity later on in shows of the future. But yeah, he's retired. A lovely poem on Twitter. I don't know whether you saw.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You never see that from a retirement.
No. Someone wrote it for him. No, he couldn't have wrote that. But no, again, he was a fantastic goalkeeper. I mean, I know, as I say, you're so exposed as a goalkeeper, and as it came to the end of his time, David Forbivas made a couple of mistakes and people started, you know, calling for him, a bit like they did with Archer. But it's such an exposed position that you make one mistake and you're sort of gone. But Fordy, for years, was an excellent goalkeeper, without a doubt.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'll always remember his penalty save against Beckford in the Leeds game, yeah. The playoff semi-final that got us to Wembley. Not only that, but the save, I think it was actually Austin as well in the playoff a year later, yeah. Just before full-time, where that could have taken it to extra time. Ford was there. He's a big game player. He always has been for us. And as Ted did say, it was, you know, a shame that people did get on his back a bit towards the end of his time there. But, you know, like Paul Robinson, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And for me, if I was to pick my all-time Millwall 11, David Ford would be right up there as the goalkeeper.
Lovely stuff. Yeah. Real legends of the game. We like these players. 300-plus appearances. That's when you know a player has done something at a football club. Right. Before we get to the next segment of the show, it's that promo again for Dan Poor on Twitter. Look out for him. He now has a Twitter site, @TogetherSoft. The event he's planning to take place before the game with Charlton. We're mentioning Charlton again on this show, guys. What's going on here?
That's all right. In this case, it's all right.
On November the 9th, it's called Together for 10. It's going to bring two sets of rival fans together to march against the street violence and murder crisis in London. The event commemorates Millwall fan Jimmy Mizzen and Charlton fan Rob Knox, who were both murdered tragically in their teens. We'll get more from Dan on the show when he comes on the show very soon. Plenty more coming up. It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, this is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. Myself, Matt Beadle, joined by the guys from No Lou Talking, James, Pat and Ted. Now, most of our listeners will be well aware of young Elise Barr, a Millwall fan we've promoted and spoken about on this programme several times in the past. Elise suffers with diplegia cerebral palsy, which has affected her mobility since birth. Her story and her family's fundraising efforts have really touched the hearts of Millwall fans and supporters of other clubs worldwide. Tonight, we're delighted to say that Elise's father, Joe Barr, is on the line. Hi, Joe. Just briefly, if you can let the listeners know how Elise's condition originally affected her and your daily lives.
Yeah, good evening, everybody.
How are you doing, Joe?
Yeah, great to have you on, mate.
Yeah, basically, Elise's diplegic cerebral palsy affects just her legs. The best way to describe it is she walks on her tiptoes all the time. And just when she was younger, she mainly crawled around a lot. And then she got given a walking frame, which helps get her around. She still uses it now, socially. But as a family, it just sort of limited us to what we could do regarding days out. You know, simple things like going to the park, playing in the garden, and things like that, really.
So, I mean, when did you first realise that there was an operation out there that could help your daughter, Jo?
Well, we found out Elise had cerebral palsy just before she was two. And then we followed all the sort of normal NHS directions as to how to, you know, manage it, etc. And then Amy went online and just had a look about cerebral palsy. She went to a coffee morning type thing where someone told her about this surgery, selective dorsal rhizotomy, it's called. A lot of people know it as SDR. And the idea behind that surgery was basically to remove the spasticity in her legs to help her get around, really, and it's made a massive difference.
Joe, Elise has made a little friend down at Millwall in Jed Wallace, hasn't she?
Yeah. Well, that come about, that was an absolute shock and a surprise. We started our campaign in November 2017, and then when it comes about the February time, I just asked, you know, a group of the first team squad to just retweet a page just to help for awareness. And literally within 5 minutes or so, Ed direct messaged me back on Twitter because he had just had his firstborn. And he just said he wanted to get her up to the game, and she came to the Fulham game that season. And it's just snowballed from there. I mean, he's kept in touch. He doesn't want any publicity from it, I don't think. But, I mean, people around the club obviously know. But, yeah, he's just kept in touch, keeps watching her videos and sending her best wishes.
And she had the wonderful day as a mascot as well last year.
Yeah, against Brighton in the FA Cup. Yeah, she got a little mention from the BBC as well, which was lovely. She just absolutely loved it. She loves it all. She loves seeing all the players. And we're going to be up at the whole game. Ellis is coming up to the whole game on Bank Holiday weekend. We're just coming back from some of her physio rehab up in Braintree Way near Stansted. And yeah, she's going to be there for that. So she's looking forward to seeing Jed again. And yeah, that day for us was just unbelievable. I mean, we were treated so well by the club, and we have been by the supporters club, by the fans, and anyone and everyone connected to the club has just took us on. And just, and you guys, you know, just everybody, it's just mind blowing for us. Absolutely mind blowing. You know, we genuinely cannot thank anyone related to the club in any way, shape or form. I mean, we targeted £65,000 and got that in literally 6 months. And then the garden, which the supporters club wanted to help her because she hadn't been able to enjoy a garden, you know, that came about, and that was done very quickly as well. That was done within a space of about 2-3 months. And, you know, she's a 7-year-old girl now who can enjoy a back garden. And, you know, that just really, you know, touches myself and my wife a lot, you know.
Evening, Joe.
Hiya.
Hey. As you know, Millwall fans from other clubs and other peoples and groups have all supported Elise's wish to walk through two fundraising campaigns. Could you just tell us what the goal of each of these initiatives were?
Yep. The first one was for the SDR surgery. That wasn't available on the NHS. And for the surgery and a lot of years of rehab, 2-3 years of rehab, it was £65,000 was the target. And that happened, and like I say, she just made massive improvements since then. She does take steps now without any aids, no like splints on her legs or anything, and she can get her feet nice and flat now. So that's just like, that was unbelievable when she first did it. Brought a tear to both mine and my wife's eyes, to be honest. And the second one, the Mill Supporters Club phoned us up and asked us, you know, is there anything that Ellis needed? And we just said that we was looking to try and sort out our garden, because it was a standard garden, but it was uneven for Ellis. And they just jumped straight on it. And through Mill fans, you know, fans from those in Claret Blue and another local charity, all clubbed together, and that was for £6,500. So all told, Ellis has had, you know, in the region of £75,000 raised for her. And it's just mind-blowing what people will do. Absolutely unbelievable.
Hello, Joe. It's Pat here.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hi. In July, it's a year since Elise's operation. Looking back, did you ever foresee the progress that many of us saw on those recent Twitter clips?
No is a simple answer. We were told it was going to be a very slow process. The best way to describe it is post-surgery, effectively, they broke her back during surgery. They had to cut into her spine. And from there, she's just had to learn to walk again. So if you can imagine, you know, when you have a newborn, it's 2 years before a toddler's walking around. And Ellis has had to do that, but at 6-7 years old. And for her, for a year down the line, to be, like I say, taking some steps with absolutely no aid in any kind, being able to get her feet flat, and yeah, it's just unbelievable progress, unexpected, but also, you know, amazing. And you guys see it on the videos, you know, she's always smiling throughout. It doesn't faze her, you know, 7 years old doing 2-3 physio sessions a week. On top of that, going off every sort of 6 to 8 weeks and doing a 14 and a half, 15 hours over 4 days. She's been doing that, and throughout it all, she never really moans. Never.
Joe, lovely to have you on, mate. Just before you go, anything else you'd like to say to the listeners, those that are listening into you now?
Just a massive thank you to everybody. You know, we come from a little coastal town in Kent, Deal, and to have been supported by so many people around Kent and around London, around particularly the southeast side of London, it's just unbelievable, and we just cannot thank you. Those two words are not enough for how we feel.
Joe, thanks very much for joining us, buddy. That was Joe Barr, father of Elise Barr, who suffers from diplegia cerebral palsy. That is a touching story there. We're going to move on to the fan in the boardroom next. Crikey. Love those shoes. Not quite the seismographic levels at the Den on Saturday. But Andy Rothery, welcome to the show. Where did that raucous Millwall chant come from?
Hi, guys. I think I pilfered it off the internet somewhere. It was quite difficult to track down. I always wondered why they didn't, because they've got the microphones up now. Why don't they just get a clean version and just put it out and we can all have it as a ringtone?
That would make sense, wouldn't it? Any other further plans to run that elsewhere? I mean, it was quite successful at the Camden Fringe, your No One Likes Us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a kind of sort of thing I do for fun. So, yeah, if anybody wants to take it on and take it more widely, it would be very welcome. Yeah, we did sort of talk to the actors about maybe doing a kind of a sort of one-off thing at a club or something or somewhere closer so people close to home can get to see it, and they're up for it. So if there's demand for that, we're very happy to do that.
Andy, you watched the game on Saturday. We're asking you to make a maximum of 3 player changes from last Saturday's starting lineup for the game against West Brom, and tell us why you're making those changes.
So goalie, I think. Going to need Belkowski in there. I thought the back four were fantastic. I thought Murray Wallace was phenomenal. If the team stayed the same, I'd be very happy with it. I would like to see Bradshaw and Matt Smith, which means kind of...
Hello, Andy. It's Pat here.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. I was at the show on Thursday, as you know. We met up.
We did, yeah.
And I nearly fell off my seat when my name came out next to Teddy Sheringham's in the play. Thank you for that. It was a great show. Anyway, have you got any predictions for tomorrow at West Bromwich Albion?
I fancy us to win it. I mean, 2-1 to us. I think we got a real buzz after the weekend, and I think the team's kind of up and has good energy level around them, and people score against West Brom. They've got a good side, but they do let goals in, so I kind of fancy just to pinch it.
I was waiting for your prediction, Andy, and I was just about to say you're deluded when you won, and I realised that's what I've put down, that we would win 2-1 earlier on. So, listen, it's made for us, isn't it? I think West Brom away, first away game, they're tipped to go up, we're tipped to do nothing, as usual, so I think you're right, a 2-1 is made for us.
Yeah, they've got a couple of injuries, and I think we've got quite an attacking side. I think there's a bit of pace. I think Marnie is fantastic. I think Scalak had a good pre-season, so it'd be interesting to give him a bit of a run out. But I think we're in good shape. I think, what is it, 3-1 against us winning? And I fancy it.
Nice, Annie. And just quickly, your reaction to the game last week. We spoke a lot about Matt Smith earlier on in the show and the new signings. What did you make of those debutants?
Well, I thought Mooney was brilliant. And I love the, I don't know if you saw it, when his play was a breaking play and he did a bit of keepy uppy and he went from his front foot to his back heel, back to his front foot. I think he's an entertainer. I think he's great. It's good to see Bradshaw back. He looked lively when he came on. I think it was good. Really good.
I've got to ask you this question, Andy. What's more nerve-wracking, acting in a play or going down and watching Millwall?
I would never act in a play. I'll do the writing, let the actors do it. They did some photos at the end of it, and they said, "Look, let's just get a picture of you sat in that chair where the actor sits," and they put all the lights on, and it's amazing. You can't see a thing. You literally can't see the people in the front row. And that was nerve-wracking. But, last 10 minutes of Millwall game, it's kind of up there. Yeah.
Andy,
if we could play 75 minutes each week,
we'd be top of the Premier if we could do that.
Andy, thanks very much for joining us, buddy. That was Andy Rothery, the fan in the boardroom this week. I must say again, because I forgot this the week before as well, the legend of the week was proposed by Johnny Ryan from Camden Town. So thank you for that, Johnny. Right, next up, it's The View from the Opposition.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. We've got about 10 minutes left. In a moment, we're going to be speaking to Matt Wilson, West Brom reporter for The Express and Star, to find out everything about the Baggies ahead of the two games that Millwall have got in the EFL and, of course, the Carabao Cup as well. But first, news updates surrounding regeneration around the Den. Over the past year, there have been many very constructive meetings between all interested parties and their advisers, as a result of which new plans for New Bermondsey are in active and positive discussion. The means to a successful development are being put in place, and Millwall FC are particularly encouraged by the fact that Lewisham Council and Renewal recognise that the current conditional land sale agreement, which allows the council to sell the freehold of land lease to Millwall FC, must be terminated in order for the club to progress to a planning application. Millwall has always been in favour of the urban regeneration project for the area around the stadium, and they wish to play their part in helping to make it happen on the land leased by the football club and the Millwall Community Trust. The club expect to be able to share their plans with the wider community in the autumn when they've been more fully formed. Meanwhile, they're in talks with potential development partners. Good news, absolutely, all round. Now, will it be good news on Saturday? To hear, maybe to quash the good news, is the view from the opposition, Matt Wilson, West Brom reporter for Express and Star. Matt, what do you think is going to happen at the weekend, West Brom v Millwall?
It's pretty difficult to predict so early on in the season, I think, particularly because West Brom have made a number of signings and they could look pretty different tomorrow. They're probably one of the busiest clubs on deadline day, bringing in four new faces. So, yeah, a tough one to predict, I think.
Yeah, it was a great start, wasn't it? That victory at Nottingham Forest. And like you say, big money signings coming in. Kenneth Zahore, of course, coming in for Cardiff. That was around £8 million. Charlie Austin yesterday, we've spoken about him a couple of times. Ted seems to like him quite a lot. He's coming
only
from
when he misses.
He's coming from Southampton for £4 million. Obviously, Romain Soyuz as well. That's a big capture from Brentford. You spend a lot of money in the summer, haven't you?
They have, yeah, but they've actually made a lot of money as well because they've sold a lot of players. I mean, Solomon Rondon went to China for $16 million. Jay Rodriguez went to Burnley for $10 million. Craig Dawson went to Watford for $6 million. So actually, in all the outgoings, they've made about $35 million and they've spent about $18 million. So that's without loan fees, which obviously bump it up a little bit. So they've actually made some money. So it looks like quite a shrewd summer window for West Brom. If those signs that they've made come off, of course.
What's the expectation like there, though, Matt? Because I was a little bit disappointed with West Brom last season. I thought they would have achieved a bit more. And they seem to be putting a new side together, like you've just said. And I mean, I'm hopeful, being a Millwall fan, that we've got you a bit early. Because I do see you as being one of the sides that should be up there come the end of the season.
Yeah, I think... The obvious expectation is to be in top six again. I'd agree with you. I think the team underperformed last season. I think when you had the squad that they had and you had the firepower that they had up front with Dwight Gehl and Joe Rodriguez, they should have been knocking on the door of the top two, which they weren't. I think they did underperform. I think the expectation will be top six again. Obviously, if you have a good season, you hope to be challenging that top two, but I don't think it's a given. I think the Championship's wide open this year. I agree with what you say about Millwall maybe catching Albion early. I think considering the late business they did in the window, it's going to take a time perhaps for the squad to gel. I think they'll be potential. I mean, even though they beat Nottingham Forest in opening day, I think they might be slow starters. And hopefully you'll see a bit more of a coherent team sort of later on as we get into sort of October, November time.
Evening, Matt. James here. Obviously, Slaven Bilic coming in over the summer was a huge coup for the Baggies. He's reshaped a few things up, but who do you reckon the players are to watch tomorrow against us? Who do you reckon could cause us the biggest problems?
Well, I don't think many of the new faces will play, just because it's been, you know, the deadline day signings, just because it's so soon. I think Romain Soyuz, who played against Nottingham Forest and looked very good in a very deep line midfield position, gave Albion a bit of control in midfield and really almost ran the game, to be honest. I think he'd be one to watch. I think further forward, perhaps Filip Krivinovic, who's a Croatian playmaker. Probably not many people around, you know, in this country know much about him. But
not many can pronounce his name, neither, Matt.
Sorry?
Not many can pronounce his name, neither.
No, I can't. But Slaven Bilic picked him personally, and he looked a very tidy player in pre-season. Very good on the ball. Capable of playing, you know, the... the final killer ball, and I think he'd be one to watch. I think at the moment the concern is, do they have someone to stick it in the net? Obviously, Charlie Austin's coming on deadline day is a good signing, but if they can keep him fit, I don't know if he'll start tomorrow. I doubt he will, but if he does, he'll also be one to watch.
Yeah. And vice versa, who are you most concerned about of our players?
Well, I think coming from this part of the world, we'll probably be looking at Jed Wallace. You know, obviously, former Wolves player. I think he got a goal on opening day, is that right?
He did, yes.
And I think he caused Albion a bit of trouble last season as well, so I think he'll be one to watch. Albion like to get Kieran Gibbs quite far up the pitch, so if Jed Wallace might be able to exploit the space in behind, you never know. I think Millwall might cause a bit of trouble down that flank.
Matt, I'd just like to get your thoughts on Jonathan Lecco. He's obviously moved on loan to Chol, and this is a guy who came to prominence in the Premier League. We all thought that this was going to be the future of English football, the future of West Brom, that's for sure. He was a very pacey, decent winger, but he seems to have gone backwards in recent seasons, doesn't he?
He does. I think that's a fair assessment. To me, he seems like a player that needs a bit of guidance, a bit of coaching. He likes to beat a man and then beat him again and then beat him again. I've not seen enough end product from him personally. I think a few players have sort of leapfrogged in the pecking order. Albion started Carl Edwards in the first game of the season, and he looks like a player who's got a bit of end product. Jonathan Lecco's obviously moved to Charlton on loan with Sam Field. I think that's a good move for him. They're still going to be playing Championship football. But it is really make or break now for these players. You know, they're not as young as they once were. I think it's a big season really for Lecco. And I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. He just needs to be perhaps guided and coached in the right direction. And apparently, Lee Bowyer is very good at developing young players. So hopefully he can flourish there. But it is a big season ahead for him, definitely.
And lastly, Matt, just before you go, we've got this strange scenario where Millwall are travelling to the Hawthorns for the Championship, and then on Tuesday they're travelling back to the Hawthorns for the Carabao Cup. You'd imagine that Slaven Bilic will prioritise the Championship over that first League Cup game, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll see a different team on Tuesday night, although I do think a few deadline-day signings will make their debuts then. So if the likes of Charlie Austin and Mateus Pereira, who's a winger they've got from Sporting Lisbon, if they don't start tomorrow, which I don't think they will, then expect them to start on Tuesday night because they want to get them up to speed, get them to match fitness. So it could still be quite a strong team on Tuesday, but I think it will look very different to the team that they start with tomorrow.
Brilliant. Matt Wilson, thank you very much for joining us. That was Matt Wilson, West Brom reporter for The Express and Star. Interesting stuff there, guys. Yeah. I mean, is that filling you with confidence? How are you feeling about the weekend?
Well, I think it's understandable. You know, they did sign Charlie Austin very late in the day, and he may have trained today with them, but, you know, is that enough to get yourself? But having said that, we know the quality of Charlie Austin. He's a goal scorer. You don't necessarily have to be fully in with a team to go out there if they're creating chances for you. So, I listening to Matt, and I think he's right. They had firepower last year in Gao and Rodriguez that should have really taken them to the top. They've lost them. Now they're looking. Zahor is a handful, but I'm not sure what he could be. He might be a hit, he might be a miss. Charlie Austin's got pedigree and will probably score goals for him. But I think they're going to look for things from elsewhere, if I'm honest. If they're going to keep. I mean, they're a quality side, they've got quality players around, but I'm hopeful that we're getting them at the right time tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely right. Before we go, chaps, it's been another thoroughly enjoyable hour. Very hot in here. The aircon is on the blink, so we are sweating buckets yet again.
The studio's falling apart.
It
man.
Is,
let's be
absolutely.
Honest.
Pat, a quick prediction ahead of the weekend. What do you reckon?
I think we'll be lucky to come away with a point. I think we're an unknown quantity this year, unlike last year, where every team found us out. Last week Preston come and they targeted Murray Wallace at the back for the first quarter of an hour, and Wallace had his best game ever for us. So I don't think teams really know us, and we may nick a win, but I think it'll be 1-1.
Wonderful. James, a result?
I'm going to go 1-1 as well. I'll be more than happy with that considering we're playing them twice in 3 days. So
well, I'm deluded like Andy. It's 2-1 to Millwall.
2-1 to Millwall. Up the Lions, absolutely. Split opinion here, but we look forward to it tomorrow. And, of course, we will be back same time next Friday at 9 p.m. for the Millwall Fan Show. And the guys from No Lee Talking, I've been Matt Beadle. We'll see you next week.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.